E2.
Number 13B.
Because what is the dynamics of idea? And the dynamics of idea is that an idea is operating. Well, how can an idea operate at all? It can only operate by establishing its idea and therefore by dissolving illusions. So I can take in the negative two if I like, because every positive statement implies that the opposite is untrue. So in a way, if we see what this chapter wants to show, it has three parts in it, three big parts. In the first part, Mr. Zeddy tries to show that a right idea is able to dissolve the counterfeit beliefs so that only the right idea is established. And then in the second part, she takes that very thing again and shows how through the ages, and she begins with the Adam dream and ends with the present day of divine science, how through the ages from the Adam dream up to divine science, these ideas were able to manifest themselves in spite of the darkness of ignorance and could manifest these ideas. It is a big sense that the idea dispelling illusions, the first part, proves itself in the human, the history of the idea from Adam up to the divine science. And that in the third part, she gives the platform which we have been taking and shows actually that these ideas are operating according to a definite calculus. You remember that we had taken the platform, have seen that the platform is built up in the 4x4. Therefore, the science of being, I think, gives us, in a short summary, so to say, the sense of, let's say, the dynamics of ideas. So if we know what we mean by the dynamics of idea, we naturally can subsumize under this term all those three parts, namely that the idea operates in dissolving a belief, second, that this is been proved through the whole history of the spiritual development of mankind, and third, that it rests on a calculus of idea. Yeah, all right? Then we go to the 11th chapter, some objections answered. What did you transfer? For instance, I have written there, the universe of ideas consists of infinite relationships of ideas, which form one coherent whole. This is a longish description, but the main points you can see now that it has to do that the universe of idea is what? That it consists of infinite relationships, and that these infinite relationships taken together, integrated together, form a great coherent whole, that there is nothing within that relationship that gives any friction, so that everything is happening within a whole. It is actually that what we feel when we have done last week the exercises with the blending of ideas, each idea blending each other idea. And when we see the infinite blending of idea, we really have the coherency of the idea and have, so to say, that focal point of spirit where all ideas taken together at the focal point of spirit bring out light instantaneously. And in this chapter on objections answered, she really wants to bring out that if we do not interject any other conception then only calculate in ideas, that reflection is the basis for demonstration. That reflection is demonstration. the objections against Christian Science, against demonstration, is that if we can't see the blending of ideas in every case, because then we take in somehow, in some way, a belief sense, so that the idea is diluted and is no more presented in its purity. Or I said that every idea is not only one with principle, but is one with all other ideas. The same thing. It's the coherency of the reflection of ideas. So the moment we have that question, it is really to put away all the beliefs, all the objections, and just only see ideas blending with ideas. So we can put here in a short way, I would say, coherency of ideas. Yes? We go to the next chapter, Christian Science Practice. Christian Science Practice. This is a long chapter. Naturally, to be able to reduce 80 pages just to one subject and be able to define that one subject, that one box clearly, is an art by itself. And it can only be done by first analyzing the whole chapter in various parts and various categories, and from there develop that subject. Last week we have done that. We have taken the chapter on practice, and there have been from our knowledge of the synonymous terms, you remember, we have been deducing really the whole chapter on practice in those four great categories in which that chapter is built. And so we could see in a general way that that chapter actually shows that all we have to do is, in practice, is to use scientifically the ideas of the seven synonymous terms. That all depends really on categorizing these ideas clearly into the first part, which we said, what is the practitioner? In the second part, where we said, what does the practitioner have to know about the truth, so that ye shall know the truth. It's therefore knowing the truth. Then in the third part, we have considered what is actually the method of the practitioner, his attitude towards his treatment, that firmness, that unchangeableness of his attitude. And then the first part, mental treatment illustrated, showing really how that consciousness, because it is one with God, is one with the patient, and therefore is the answer to the problem, and therefore can touch the patient. So it is all about knowing how to use scientifically the ideas. So we can epitomize it, perhaps like the scientific use of ideas. Yes. Now, this just quickly pinpointing what we could take out of the text of my structure book and transfer into these boxes, and now we want to see the spiritual impact of it. In order to see the spiritual impact of it, we should first see what is therefore the general tone that runs vertically through these four chapters. Again, the question, how should we define Christianity in the I index? And from my book, I guess you couldn't do much else than to take over always the same simple thing, where I said it is showing the realm of ideas. Sometimes I said it is the universe of ideas, so that Christianity here at the top category would be the realm of ideas. Realm of ideas. Now, let's think out what Mrs. Eddy presents here. Is it true that these four chapters center around the focal point of idea? which we know would be Christianity, because the Word is always God. The Christ is always how God manifests itself to men, to the point of idea. Once it has touched the point of idea, the third question comes up, which says, what is idea? What is the realm of idea? And so Christianity is here depicted in these four big chapters as the realm of ideas. How? In the chapter on creation, Mrs. Eddy really just shows what is creation per se, not the act of creating. This is not the chapter creation. So we have to be very careful that we are not looking out here for a description of the Creator and how the Creator is creating, but it is the outcome of the Creator creating, and that is the creation, the outcome. And in that chapter, Mrs. Eddy shows that actually only ideas constitute the realm of creation, the universe inclusive man, which means that we only have to compute with ideas, only take into account ideas, not things, not people, not person, or anything like that, but that we only have to do with ideas when we consider creation or the universe in which we live. And you know how gently she bridges over from the Christ vertical to this chapter on creation, because she starts in that chapter on creation and says eternal truth. She takes over from the footsteps of truth and says eternal truth is changing the universe. Meaning that when we have touched the eighth chapter and have seen that we must reconstruct, so to say, our consciousness from an unscientific consciousness to a scientific consciousness, that then we have suddenly a new universe in front of us. That this creates a new universe. Eternal truth is changing the universe. And then she shows how this changing of the universe takes place. It is all about taking off the limits of human beliefs. It's all about limitation and unlimited ideas. So that one feels here that what is necessary is to get away really from the metaphysical approach to the universe, but to take on the scientific standpoint of being and see that only that what the seven synonymous terms are conscious of, only that what the seven synonymous term conceive is true creation, is the form and nature of the true creation. And so it starts right in with that sense that the mental swaddling cloth should be taken off, and that thought expands into expression. You get the terrific sense of liberating conceptual thinking, thought thinking, liberating that by putting off all the boundaries and limitations, and no more think in terms of thoughts, but in terms of ideas, because ideas are the only elements in being that are timeless and spaceless. Ideas are the answer to both the time concept and the space concept, as we have seen last week. Through seven stages, she shows how to take off those limits, and that going out from an unlimited basis, we only arrive at right ideas and at the right conception of creation. So that at the end of the chapter, she is no more speaking of the swaddling cloths, which really are so tight that the baby can hardly move, you know. Whereas at the end of the chapter, she speaks of the white robes of spirit, and white is always a symbol for the seven-hued white, meaning that if we clothe really consciousness only with ideas and not with thoughts, that then consciousness really expands to that point where the limitless, timeless, spaceless concept of creation is being established in consciousness. It's a beautiful chapter showing all through how to take off limits. Those terms that indicate limitation and the unlimited concept just abound through the text. You see, that's the way how to tackle any text. That one reads a text and listens spiritually first to the general tone in it and feels what is different compared with the preceding chapters. What is absolutely new in this chapter in tonality? And you would find, if one knows the preceding chapters, and only if one knows the preceding chapters, one can arrive better at the true idea of the new chapter, that then one can catch the difference between the preceding chapter and the present chapter. And that very difference indicates really the newness and the main idea of that chapter. And here nobody can fail, really, when he reads it, to be impressed by that expansion of thought, by taking off the limits in every way and shape possible, until finally you have just the white robes of spirit. No limitations anymore. And then we arrive at the true idea of creation. So it is expanding from thinking, which is metaphysical, to the point of idea of the ideas of the seventh synonymous term, which is science. Once this is established, that we have always to do with the universe of idea. Always. Always. Never with the people universe, never with the material universe, never with the universe of things, is the greatest liberation everybody can experience. Think how wonderful our life would be if there were no people concepts in this universe. If we wouldn't have to talk about people and what they say and what they think and what they do. This is really, the greatest hell there is to have a people universe. To live in a universe of microbes is not so bad as to live in the sense that we have to reckon with people. And so translating that people thing universe into an idea universe is the greatest liberation, because we touch the reality of the realm of creation. And nobody can do that in a jump. We all fall back to the people universe, to the thing universe, but we at least know the answer. And I always feel this is a big thing, that we know the answer. And therefore it isn't so much a question, do we fall back or fall down from the high standard which we profess to? Well, each one falls, but many people don't know anymore how to climb up. But here in our science we know the method, how to get out of it. And that's the main thing, that we can pull up our socks again and say, Max, we're just fooling yourself again, so get out of it. Get back to the true creation, where there is a universe of ideas and only ideas operating and nothing else. Just read sometimes that chapter through in a quick way. It's a short chapter, just quickly through, just with a sense of listening to the melody, without trying to catch the details and every sentence, and it just frees one of every limitation. When we have done that and seen that we have only to do with the ideational universe, then naturally we come to the question, now what does this idea universe do? Has an idea a Christ? has an idea a saving mission and a saving power or not? And this is answered in that long, long chapter on the signs of being. So we come to the Christ sense, but as a subtone of the idea, Christianity. Therefore, we can reckon very easily what Mrs. Eddy must show here. She must show that an idea has a Christ. Up to this point, when she was telling us something about the Christ, it was always telling in the preceding vertical that God has a Christ. And that's something different than when I see that an idea has a Christ. What is that Christ office of an idea? Well, the Christ office of an idea is manifold, you see. And Mrs. Eddy presents that chapter in three parts and says the first great mission of an idea in its Christ activity is that an idea has power, that it is working, that the idea is dynamic. You know, the moral rearmament people had once a very good slogan way back 20 years ago or so. Their main book had a title called Ideas Have Legs. See, they really, Mrs. Eddy says, ideas deport themselves. Ideas go and do things. They run and do things. Ideas are active. Ideas are dynamic. And so in the first part she would show that ideas save us first from the belief in the opposite illusions. So she would go right through the ideas of the seven synonymous terms and show how the ideas of mind would save us from the opposite illusion, from the illusion that thinking or mortal mind has power. And that you would take the ideas of spirit and would show that ideas have legs, that the ideas operate, that the ideas have dynamic power, that they are saving us from the belief of matter-substance, for instance. And so, step by step, she goes through the seven synonymous terms, but from the point of view of idea, and showing that if we entertain that consciousness of idea, that consciousness liberates us, saves us, frees us from the counterfeit beliefs. And this she shows much, so to say, in a theoretical way, in a general theoretical way, and only afterwards she picks up a completely new subject, namely the second part.